Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get pumped. Where are you? You in your car? You under your bed? You listening to me in airplane mode? Because you downloaded me? You subscribed? What is it? Like, review, subscribe, rescribe? Yeah, that's what you did. And now you got me. You're in the car. You're hanging outside your job. Just waiting for 5 more minutes of sweet, sweet comedy before you head inside. Take a dump at work. Get out your spreadsheets. I'm here for you. We're here to bring the comedy with me. I'm equipped with my baby arm. She's taking a big chug when you're supposed to say, hey, it's me.
Hi. We've gotten a lot of questions lately about where baby arm comes from, but I feel like we've addressed it. So why don't we quickly...
Why don't you tell them? That way it looks less shameful.
Because my arm looks like a baby's arm.
Say it with a smile, though.
I'm telling a fact.
Her arm is soft and tender and meaty, and it's untouched by vitamin D. It's like a translucent
like a baby.
Purple. Yeah.
Because you can't tan your babies.
I actually don't think I would think that if you weren't so
pale?
Frighteningly white. So it's the color combined with the softness.
Okay.
The plumpness of it.
There we
and
go.
You've got a dimple. I don't have it.
Oh.
We have a dimple in the elbow, yeah. Which a baby has.
Yeah.
And I squeeze it. And don't ask her if she needs help because she's fine.
Yeah, because you did Instagram videos about it probably over a year ago. And then it stuck.
Yeah, she's fine. We're fine. We're post-feminism
here. A lot of people
were
just curious.
That's the answer. A baby arm and a squeeze it.
All right. So let's get into the questions. We have an anonymous one. If I'm social media active and my boyfriend of 6 months has a Facebook account but not really active except for family tagging him on stuff, when is it okay to ask to be friends? I've met some of his mom's friends. I wouldn't ask Facebook official till, say, a year, but would be nice to start tagging him in things and a peek at what's on his wall. Love you.
Just
add
tag
him as a friend.
Him. Just do it. Request it. And if he brings it up and is weird, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Nobody really checks Facebook except parents. You don't need to tag him. Get on Instagram. That's where all the cool kids are. It doesn't matter.
No.
Don't even tag him. And I would erase your page. The Russians are coming. Next question.
Another anonymous, how do I nicely ask my hubby to please stop giving me gift cards to a certain store as gifts?
Ooh.
It's a chain store that is close to his office, so it's easy for him, but I never shop there on my own, only when he gives me a gift card.
Hy-Vee, Ralph's?
I don't generally like their clothes.
Is it a big eagle, giant eagle, large eagle?
So I usually end up buying some random perfume and home stuff. I don't want to be ungrateful, but there are other places I'd rather get gift cards from, or he could put some thought into a meaningful gift. Love you, fan of New Jersey.
You know, it's tough because he's probably thinking like, oh, she likes this place, and it probably wasn't even like a big gift. He's like, I'm just thinking about you, and here's a cute thing. This is your husband. So if you're wondering how do I say something, if you can't say something to him in a rational way and have him, you know, respond with removing emotion from it, having him not, then that's a bigger issue. But we all have these things where you don't, like, I have this with Smokey Husky. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings and they're trying. You say it as nicely as possible. I love you so much and it's so sweet that you do this. I don't really shop there and I was so scared to tell you, put it on you. I was so nervous. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. put it on you that you had bared this burden. You had borne this burden. And you're like, and I was thinking I'm going to therapy and I've been on this prescription because I'm so, he'll be like, whoa, I'm sorry. Men are very good, if they don't have an ego about it, are very good about like, all right, just correct him and he'll be okay.
You don't even have to bring up the old stuff. Just say, hey, next time you get me a gift card, I really love the pajamas from Soma.
There you go.
Yeah.
Done.
I'd like that more.
I have a new favorite store.
Men are not as complicated as women. There is very little emotion attached. He's just doing it because he thinks you like perfume.
Yeah.
And you keep reinforcing it.
Right.
Just point him in. It's like a wind-up toy. Pick him up, rewind, put him. It's like Blanche would like be obsessed with sniffing something. We'd pick her up, we'd wind her up.
Yeah.
And then put her a different direction. She's like, here I go.
Right.
That's how men are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he did it the first time because it was near his work, and then you went there and bought things there, and he was like, great.
Yeah,
this worked out perfectly.
There's no sentimental attachment. It is all convenience. And don't say the, like, or get me a good gift, because he's like, I was just thinking of you. It's like a guy that, like, gets you a scratcher or, like, a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever given me a scratcher. Don't give me a scratcher.
I've seen a lot of, on Reddit, questions of if people who, like, buy someone else a scratcher. And
you bought
then,
it for him.
Right, but they, like, want some of the winnings. Or buying a scratcher. How do you feel about this one? Splitting a scratcher with someone, like you and a friend always when you are on a road trip, you split a scratcher. The friend never, ever pays you back.
Mm.
And this scratcher won big money. So just this person
pays you back a dollar? Scratcher's
like
a dollar. But
if every time, I mean, there are some that are like $5 or $10. And if this person consistently never pays you that money, this guy was like, hey, man, are you going to pay me back? And the guy's like, yeah, I'll get you. This guy knows he's won. And so he's like, well, if he's not going to pay me back, I'm not going to give him.
No, you can't split that hair. Fine, here's $10. Now give me $500,000.
Right.
If you're
it's like, you know, $500, whatever.
Under the pretense of this is something we're doing together, then that's that. If you didn't say that, though, and they were just in the car.
Yeah.
I think, but I also don't buy scratchers because I don't buy scratchers. So scratcher law, someone else is going to have to write it. Scratcher law.
Yeah, I've never bought one, but whenever I see someone buying one in front of me at the 7-Eleven, I'm like, should I do that?
It's not in my wheelhouse of hobbies.
I'm not very lucky, I would just be mad.
It's always like, I'll take a scratcher, a pack of Marlboros, and this Monster Energy enema.
Now I see people, they buy the scratchers and they buy the Juul pods.
Yeah, so it's that kind of person. Let's move on.
Different life. Okay.
Fuel up.
Anonymous.
Lose that lung.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. Huge fan. You made me understand, finally, people's irrational need to talk to celebrities.
You're welcome.
I've lived in Denver for the past year, moved there from Atlanta because I needed something new. I'm sure Emily can relate. Mm-hmm.
She's a creature of habit.
I moved here from
Atlanta. I asked her to change her routine once, and her head almost exploded. And it was like just leaving a room to go another. She's like, but my things. So she does not understand that.
But I moved.
You're not from Atlanta. I moved here front.
From Decatur.
Okay. So
and I moved here from there.
Did you?
What do you
think? I feel like someone moved you because I can't imagine you.
I moved here.
Did you drive here? Or did you fly here?
I drove here with my dad and all my stuff in my car. And then he flew back after he helped
me. And he left me with all this stuff.
He helped me unpack my stuff.
That's very sweet.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza.
I'm busy, and this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby, I'm back to work, I'm at meetings, I'm on tour, I'm running around, and I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals, because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week.
week, so I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/Eliza50 and use code Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Eliza50 at factormeals.com/Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
I recently had one of the few friends from high school I still talk to visit me, and I always thought we had a good relationship because we have similar senses of humor and both ended up in situations we never planned for after college. But during this recent visit, it seemed like every time I shared something about my new life, it was just hilarious. I felt like less of a friend and more of a piece of entertainment. I've always been someone to pull hobbies, movies, opinions, etc. out of left field. And coming from the suburbs of Georgia, I'm used to being a novelty. But at some point, I don't appreciate all aspects of my life being a joke. How do you deal with people keeping you around because you're a great story to tell everyone back home? P.S. I'm not, like, in the circus or have crazy hair. I'm just regular, unassuming, on the surface, 24-year-old freelancer who has really gotten into the Colorado lifestyle and never been afraid to go my own way.
I think you're asking the wrong question. How do you deal with it? You're not friends with this person anymore. You've outgrown each other. She also might have no frame of reference for what it is you do, or maybe, you know, you smoke pot or you go snowboarding on the weekends. The hilarious thing, I think sometimes when people laugh, it's because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
She might have been laughing at you, but not meaning it maliciously. But people grow apart. I say it all the time. You're 24. You're going to shed friends and you don't live in the same state. You know, if you want to bring it up, if it's really worth saving, but it just might mean that you don't really have any shared experiences and you're different now.
Well, and there's a certain amount. I mean, I even still get it sometimes of when you're from the South, people being like, oh, what's it like? Like, why don't you talk like that? What's
Colorado? Denver's very liberal. Yeah. And so maybe that was weird for her. The pot could have been a thing. I don't know what you were doing. Also, there is a chance that she had altitude sickness and didn't know where she was because it happens every time.
Right. Yeah.
That's the truth arrow.
Oh, yeah. That's your new sound. You're really into
that.
You
pull it back and then you let it go and it goes in the skin and then it goes back and forth.
I used to be really good at archery.
Yeah.
Like I hit a bullseye and I got a free box of candy.
Okay. It's not archery. That's like you're at camp.
I mean,
it's not like archers.
Yeah, I wasn't like in a battle with orcs.
And that's the last time you worked out.
Yeah.
That was the last athletic thing.
I won a contest and I said, this is it for me. I'm done now.
Peaked. Take me to LA.
Wait, the arrow, you were doing the sling.
She's doing, when it hits, it vibrates.
Like if you
threw
a knife.
The power of the hit is the end cap
but
of that.
Before you were unsheathing your sword of
no,
truth.
No, I'm pulling back.
Oh,
I'm pulling back the bow, and then I let it go. It's a simultaneous letting go and it landing in a neck. And then.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
Okay. Passed out in the desert says, you ever wish for things?
Don't ask me questions. People like that are like the pineapple pizza people.
I didn't ask you the one about,
listen,
like,
I got a raging boner and I'm a little high. Answer me.
This
I wish for better questions.
This question I think is funny because Dax is a name, says, this is an oddly specific question. Eliza, did you partner to do ads with Chase Bank just for the sole purpose of impressing us all by doing the fast talk section without digitally speeding your voice
up? Oh my
up?
God, you know my heart. I got so excited. I weirdly, for such an out-of-the-box thinker, get very excited for formalities. I got so excited to do the, like, member FDIC thing. And when I hosted a game show, I loved being like, TBS, Thursdays at 7, only on TBS. I love the tags. I love these, like, inherently Americana, like, things that go with it. So it's not all of why I did it, because that would be very weird, but I was very excited to do it. So you get me.
You did, yeah.
You advance to the next level of fandom.
Is that a hat trick for Dax, too? I
think yeah, that's Dax third question. Has been on a few.
Whoa, Dax Shepard, good to have you.
Sam underscore Sid underscore Cats at Play. Eliza, as a woman who is passionate about her career, I'd love to get your thoughts on an ongoing argument between my husband and myself.
Ugh, I would love to weigh in, but I have to go.
Before we got married, we talked about what would happen with each of our careers when we had kids. We decided I would work part-time to provide childcare. This was working great until I got promoted. I went from working about 15 to 20 hours a week to closer to 30. This does not include the time I do work at home. I love my job, but my husband does not respect it and calls it my hobby job and wants me to quit so I can be a stay-at-home mom. The money I bring home is 1/4 of what my husband makes, and I always work around his schedule. My kids are happy and cared for, so why should I quit just because he has to do a little more?
I think that's a conversation you have to have with your husband about respecting you. And, you know, you're not a baby machine. Just because you're a woman who births children doesn't mean that you only want to be around children. There's a famous Sex and the City episode where Miranda was just like, it's not enough. And for some women, being a mother is enough. And for some women, it's not. And there's no answer that's wrong or right. But what is wrong is your husband not respecting it and thinking that you're beneath him and that your time should be spent the way he sees fit if you are, in fact, already taking care of your family.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to be taken down a peg.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't have time to stalk your Instagram. But, you know, it's not uncommon, you know, to be like, oh, my wife and her hobby. And you know what? Maybe I don't know what you do. Maybe what you do is bullshit. Maybe you work at like a friend's handbag company. But the truth is, it makes you happy. You make money. It keeps you active. And it keeps you from fucking going insane. So it's not like you're breaking your end of the bargain and you're like, sorry, they got to go to daycare. Mama's drinking and making fake Birkin bags. Gluing flowers on him. I'm just saying it's more about control. I'm not saying your husband's a bad person or abusive, but he's not respecting your time
right. And
you.
And you also need to discuss, like, if monetarily, I mean, if they're going to childcare, how expensive is that? Because that's another issue.
You don't want him paying for everything. That's a whole other thing.
Right.
And this might be the thing that gives you, like, a modicum of freedom. You're like, I do contribute financially. I can't imagine that he makes so much money that your money is just, like, toilet
she
paper.
Makes a fourth of what he makes.
It's still something.
Yeah.
That's still the maid. That's still groceries. That's something. Mm-hmm. Unless he makes, like, $200 a week. I don't know. So that's more about him not respecting you and your contribution and your sanity.
Yeah.
Put your tits right in his face. You'd be like, you want this.
Right. You're not wrong to want to do your job.
Or to want to have something other than your family. You are not wrong for that.
Well, and maybe because they clearly, before kids, discussed and decided she
doesn't
would stay
matter.
Home. Right, but you have to
that's
have
like
a
saying,
new discussion.
That's why you don't write your will and stuff before kids, because, like, it doesn't matter what you decided. Kids change everything.
So set new expectations.
Yeah.
Because if he's working off that old model.
So new expectations. Like, and you're not going back on it. It's not like you're like, no, figure it out. Like, you're doing your job and you want another job.
Yeah.
So he needs to chill out. You can tell him I said so. You can tell him I weighed in on these two faceless people.
On stage page underscore, Eliza, you're notorious for your detestation of underscores. What is your Eliza approved alternative? If you're just like a random accountant or cashier, you could probably just change it. But what about those that are trying to cultivate a brand? I own the same domain name as my Instagram handle. But on Twitter and Instagram, I have 7-year-old dead accounts holding my name hostage.
Yeah.
I've tried to contact Twitter and Instagram with no progress. What can us lowly handle warriors do to keep our brand and not offend with trashy underscores? In all seriousness, love you so much.
The answer is nothing.
I mean, it's
just an inconvenience to me. nobody cares but me. Please live your life.
The only thing you shouldn't do is when you have like two or three underscores and then you can't tell how many it is.
Yeah, like when it's a dat, like several. Because then there's the different, like some people do because they don't want to be found. Yeah. Like my manager has like 15 underscores.
Oh, yeah.
After three, that's like, I don't want the government to find me.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's just something for me to kvetch at. You're fine. And that is annoying. The dead accounts, there should be a limit. Ugh. If you are inactive for a year, take it down. It's the only reason I have an Eliza Facebook page, so some fucking nut doesn't come in and it's like, I'm Eliza Schlesinger.
Right.
Check out my body.
But you have a different name on Twitter and on Instagram.
I grabbed Eliza on Twitter, and I dislike Twitter with a passion, but I'm not going to erase it just because, A, it's a great way to promote dates, and B, I don't want someone else to have it.
Yeah.
But no. I use it.
Yeah.
So those people are lazy, bad people. They also could be dead. You don't know.
They could be.
The answer is I don't hate you on stage, Paige, and I hope your business thrives and you can crush domains like puss. Sorry, Mom.
She_who_ sings, hey, Eliza. I stopped talking to my mom a year ago.
Because she gave you all those underscores in your Christian name.
Her Christian name she uses.
Those underscores.
They're just like, spaces. We don't need to read them.
It's from the New Testament.
I know. Sometimes I don't read them and I just read the name.
No, you have to because there's a she who sings without underscores out there that's like, I didn't
read it. Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that is the thing.
Do I want to be able to find you? All right. Hey, Eliza. I stopped talking to my mom a year ago and my family has been giving me hell for it ever since. I mentally needed space from her after years of trying to have open, honest conversations about boundaries and different things she did frequently that hurt me. She told me I forfeited the right to be a part of her family, and now my grandmother is the only member who still talks to me. My grandmother told me yesterday that I should repair the relationship because, quote, she's my mother and all the things she's done for me. I had no idea what to say. What would you say to people telling me to talk to my mom?
I would say talk to your mom. I don't know the specifics. You're saying hurt you. I can tell you, moms get annoying. We all get fed up with our moms. But the truth is, at least for most moms, it always comes from a place of that they love you so much. So you're saying hurt. I don't know what that means. I don't know what lens you're looking at this through. I can tell you if it's something that you, taking space is one thing, but if they're not going to acknowledge, your mom's going to be, here's the truth. Your mom's going to be dead one day. And then all the things you wanted to say, you won't be able to say. So if she really hurt you, I mean, there's annoying and then there's hurt. And then there's, I didn't mean to hurt, and you're interpreting it that way. Your whole family could be nuts, but you always feel better when you make the effort.
Right. Well, I would advise, go to reddit.com/
No, don't, that should never be advice.
Raised by narcissists, because there's very interesting conversations surrounding parents where sometimes like explaining a story of what's happened and you get other people's input and they can tell you you're being crazy or that woman has been abusing you.
Yeah, I do have a friend who was raised by a narcissist and they were abusive. So she could have sexually abused you. Like I don't know in right. which case, yeah, maybe you don't want to repair that. Mm-hmm. If it isn't that, then if it's not severe, but also your question was, what would you say to people telling me to talk to my mom? It's none of their business.
Right.
Don't bring it up then. If you don't want that from people, don't bring
it up. Well, and I get, you know, of course the grandmother wants to repair things. I don't think you're going to be able to get her to stop. You just, you know, you say, look, she knows what she did. Anyway, Grandma, nice to see you.
I will also say this. You should just know, I'm going to go under the assumption that what she did isn't sexually abusive or, you know, drug related, and it's just more emotional and didn't mean to. Our parents, the older they get, you're not going to change them. The amount of arguments I've had with my mom where I've been like, I need you to do this. And she's like, I'm going to. And then she doesn't. Because they've been around longer and they're kind of set in their ways and little things can change. But the more you can just kind of breathe through it, again, assuming that it's just like a chill thing and be like, look, they're just really trying their best and I can't change it.
Yeah.
If you kind of go with the current. But that's it. I don't know.
This is another, I think, good time for therapy, because if you can talk to someone objective that's not like related to your mom. All right. Well, look, I think if you can afford it or work it out on a sliding scale, going to a therapist where you can discuss all of the things that your mother has done
and get an objective opinion on it. Get it out now, yeah, because she's going to be dead and then you'll have to swallow it. Do what you can. Do it for yourself, not her. Next question.
Christine Twan. Hi, Eliza. Your Ask Eliza Anything theme song is hilarious and catchy, but I must admit it's a bit of an earworm and has been stuck in my head for days. What songs drive you bananas when they get stuck in your head? Thanks for your awesome podcast.
Any song. Any song, because I was up at like 3 a.m. and I'll get like fragments of songs, so not a full song, like just like the background of like wah 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 wah, you know. I had like Hot Girl Summer, and then there was like a Cardi B song that she did with City Girls, but all I had in my head was like, "Do it, baby, stick it, baby, do it, baby, stick it, baby, grip up on that whipper." I don't even know what they're saying. I get the gibberish version of songs stuck in my head, and we all know that for the longest time, I had that ludicrous song, the "I wanna lick, 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 lick," but the only part that I had was when he goes, "Eating fresh fruit." So you've all heard that. I have jingles stuck in my head.
I wind up with your versions of songs stuck in my head. Like when you sing.
That is by design.
I would just get like the.
Oh, Greg's.
No, not even that, although that does. Oh, now that is going to be in my head. But when you make up your own lyrics for radio songs.
Oh.
I get those in my head all the time.
Here's the thing. Here's the secret to song to that. It's always about a fart or my dead dog.
It's mostly the second. Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many songs lend themselves to like, you're small and your body and you're tiny. Now you do.
I mean, all of your dog songs, your official dog songs would get stuck in my head so frequently.
But you're welcome. Like, you're welcome.
They're good, they would worm their way in there.
It's fun. That's why. So sorry about the earworm. I can't say it wasn't on purpose. This is what ears are for. That's what memories are for.
Ears are for.
We already know about Greg's hold music.
Yeah.
My publicist's hold music, which we could call and listen to.
No.
The first couple notes sound like the beginning of the Who's the Boss theme song, so I always sing it, but then it becomes about suicide.
Yeah.
There's a time for love and a time for tips. You take your life in your own hands.
I made you and your husband a ringtone out of that.
Did I know this?
Yes.
I think I emailed it to you, but
I don't know if I ever.
We'll dig that email
I turned that thing from the episode, which you guys can all go back and listen to, but then I turned that into a little thing for you.
Into a little cottage industry.
Enjoy.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Lil
Fresh Fruit
_ cake _ pop. Was there any weird habit or tradition your family had that you didn't realize was weird until somebody pointed it out to you?
I had this boyfriend who was not, like, the best, but one time he was being annoying, and I snipped at him, "Give it a rest!" And he was like, he was very California. He's like, "That's not the way to talk to people." And like, it didn't occur to me that like my mom had been saying that my whole life, and maybe that's not the most gentle. My dad will start, if we're at dinner and somebody orders food and the food arrives, when it comes to the table, he'll go, "Oh, happy birthday." And people will start singing it to you when you just ordered like a plate of chicken. So that's, you know, nothing like, "Oh, you guys kiss on the lips? My family doesn't do that." Weird habit or tradition. Tradition, no, because my parents are divorced. Tradition, I have to think about that. Oh, we know about Barnstorm. So it's more about messing with each other.
Yeah.
When I was little, my mom and my brother and I used to play this game called, like, "You Know What I Hate," and we would each try to say something more horrific to the other one. "I hate it when people stab me in the eye. Oh, I hate that. But you know what I hate even more? When I get paper cuts in the webbing of my fingernail. But you know what I hate even more?" And we would just build. I was a morbid child. Something like that. Yeah, I don't have, like, "We all go skiing every year, and we all bring a pound of cold spaghetti." Mommy's scatty. I don't have it. Do you have one?
I mean, yeah, I have a tradition where every Easter, and my parents are, like, not religious at all, so on Easter, they would just take eggs, like, the plastic eggs, and fill them with different sugary cereals, because we weren't allowed to have the, like, we had healthy breakfast. I ate very healthy as a child, like, really healthy.
Sure.
And
I believe that now you're rebelling.
So they would get those, like, little boxes, and they would fill the eggs, and they would hide them around the house, so then when we got up, we would do an egg hunt for our breakfast.
That's so cute.
And it was, like, very fun.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So
she's like, "And that's how I have my breakfast every morning. I hide it the night before. I take 6 Ambien. I wake up and I'm like, 'Where am I? Where's my breakfast?'"
It was like very, because you crack it, you'd be like, "Oh, Lucky Charms. Oh, Cocoa Puffs."
That's cute.
Yeah. Oh. So it was nice. Anonymous, any tips on how to break bad habits you formed in your early 20s? Second, any good habits I should be focusing on forming now that I am entering my mid 20s?
I don't know.
What?
I can tell you this. I'll answer the second part because I don't know. The bad habits will fall. What happens is you'll hit a rock bottom or you'll be like, "Oh, this isn't cute."
Right.
"Oh, I shouldn't call him." You'll start to realize like, "Hey, you know what? When a guy doesn't text back, fuck him." No, really fuck him, but like don't text back because he doesn't care. You'll start to realize that the world is a lot less complicated than you thought it was, mm-hmm. start washing your face. In your early 20s, you can go to bed full makeup and wake up like, oh my God, like messy chic. It's not going to last forever. Take care of your skin now so you get more longevity out of it. Do not fall asleep drunk with your makeup on. Always take your makeup off. Always floss. I cannot go to bed without flossing.
Get a vibrating toothbrush, electric toothbrush.
What did you say?
Get a burst toothbrush. Because then you also get the new brush heads because it's like, did you know that you need to change your toothbrush heads?
You gotta change those heads. Yeah. It can't just be this like worn down flat part of hair.
But it's now official that it makes such a difference to have an electric toothbrush.
I have had an electric toothbrush since I was 18. Mm-hmm. The one that I had was a different company. It looked like a 70s vibrator. Like it was so, it was like
they
that medical, like light blue white. Mm-hmm. Wash your face, get an eye cream routine. So, like, for crow's feet and wrinkles, especially if you're fair-skinned, and take care of your hair. Take care of these things because they will take care of you, and it does not... You know the girls that, like, got rode hard and put away wet, and at, like, 36 are like, I'm going to start washing my face now. You're like, face has already left the building. You're weird.
Right. If you develop it as a routine now and it's just something you're used to doing every night, it's so much easier.
And working out. Like, your body, it will show in your body. You will feel better. Your energy, you'll come to rely on it for... Just do these couple of things. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, like, meditate. I wish I did that more. And, like, positive thinking.
Sunscreen.
Self-love. Sunscreen, big time. Every time you leave the house and put it on your fucking hands because you're going to get early-looking liver spots, but it's from the sun because your hands are in the driver's seat on the steering wheel. Take care of your skin and face because those things will betray you.
Your skin is your biggest organ.
And work that butt. Next question.
Anonymous. Hi, Eliza and Emily.
Skin's not Scott's biggest organ. Yeah. Well, it's wrapped in big skin.
Skin too, yeah. Okay.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. And they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute. And when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today.
My question is,
thanks
recently...
for the confidence.
Yeah. Brothers. What?
Brothers. My question is, I recently started a new job I love. It was a temp to hire situation, but I am now a permanent employee. While I was a temp, no one really paid attention to me for obvious reasons. But now I'm permanent and want to make connections at work. I've made friends with the IT guy whose cubicle is next to mine.
No, it doesn't count.
But we don't really share any common ground.
No.
I want to be friends with the other similarly aged girls in my department, but I need advice on how to approach becoming friends with them.
Okay.
I haven't made any new friends in a long time. Well, and I feel like I've lost the finesse it takes to become friends with people I don't know closely. My question is if you have any advice on pursuing a friendship with new people without coming off as desperate or needy. P.S. I'm willing to show them my party goblin and bond with them in that regard. P.S.S. I love your specials.
Sounds so, like you need a Chili's happy hour.
Whoa. Ooh. Good prizes. You're like, my question is, what do I get Rajneesh from IT to show him I'm serious? Look, it's really hard to make friends. Girls can be really shitty, but if they're decent humans at all, they'll respond to your thing. So I don't think it's the worst thing. First of all, you're there to work, but it is nice to organically let it happen. I don't know how long you've been there. It is not the worst thing in the world to go around and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm here. If anybody wants, like, put yourself out there. I'm also really good at being like when I meet a new friend, I'll take a general meeting and I'll be like, do you want to come to a curated bar crawl I do? And I like select friends and then you get drunk with someone. That's a great way to bond, provided that they're cool. I would just kind of put yourself in their orbit and volunteer. Be like, hey, I'm getting a drink. Does anyone want to do that? Someone will say yes. And if they all say no, they'll never know that you never went for that drink.
Right.
Ask if you can go with them. If they're like, we're going to lunch, be like, oh, I'm going there. Mm-hmm. Can I join you guys? They'd have to be monsters to say no.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're fine.
My personal method is I clock one person in the office when I've had like real jobs with other humans.
It's just been me for 4 years.
I know. When I'm at a real job, I clock one person in the office that I want to be friends with, and I ask them, I talk to them only.
Every day.
And
you do that.
I fill out their vibe.
You do that with Molly.
I ask them to go to a movie with me or hang out with me. Aww. And then from there, I'm going to a movie tomorrow night with someone that I made friends with at the temporary job between you and you. When I left you briefly. And because it's so much easier for me personally to hone in on one person. And then when they are going to lunch with everyone, they invite me because then I'm in with that one person.
Provided you don't shit the bed at that
right.
first lunch.
But if you do well the first time, and I remember specifically the first time I hung out with this friend, we saw The Shallows starring Blake Lively.
Wait, speaking of movies, is Between You and You the sequel to You Before Me or Me Before You?
Me Before You.
What's the other one? With like Timothy Chalamet.
That's Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name. Okay. Yeah, I mean, invite them. You know what also is fun? Pick one that you like. And if you have another friend, like, decide to go out with that friend and then invite her. Be like, hey, we're going to this fun. I always would be like, hey, we're going to Break Room or me and some of my friends. I pose it like me and my friends are doing something. Would you like to go?
Yeah.
And then you get, if she's like, oh, I can't. Or like, you know, you can gauge if someone wants to hang out with you. But it will organically, if you're not a total creep, like, it'll organically happen at work.
Yeah. I just personally have found it easier to kind of get in good with one person and then expand from there. Like, that's easier for me because I'm more of, like, a one-on-one hangout person.
Not me. I swing for the fences. I'm like, who wants to listen to me tell jokes? Come on out to the
comedy store.
Yeah,
you hang out with a crew. Like, you tend to get a group together.
Or just Greg.
Or just Greg and then whoever else you pick up along the way.
I do that. But, yeah, have a thing that you're going to do and invite them along. It'll be cool. And you know what's really cute? It's not that, and you're a girl, so you can do this, like, bring cupcakes to work. It's like a really sweet thing to be like, hey, I'm here. Oh, I you know where I got them? Oh, the bakery. Oh, I live by that bakery. Oh, I love that bakery.
That's worked well for me. I bring to Avalon sometimes when you're not here and I just go by myself. I bring Krispy Kreme because there's one right near me and there isn't one, like, local to over here.
It's very nice of you.
So it's like finding something that's, the donuts are not that expensive compared to like a cupcake or something, but it's like a nice thing.
Yeah.
People
remember that. Everybody likes the person that brought food and it's okay to show that you're making an effort. You're new and it's cool. I think that's sweet. I've done that before. Bought donuts for the crew. No one cared. Show got canceled, but still.
How about you bring back that Easter egg situation? Put some cereal around the office in Easter egg.
Or fish and don't tell them.
Just get to work before everyone and be like, I've hidden things.
Here's what you do. I've hidden things. Show up in a dirty bunny costume. Be like, it's me. Your coworker.
As far away from April as possible. Is April Easter? Yeah. Right?
I don't. Jewish.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was March. Maybe it's April.
Might be March.
It's whatever's after Valentine's Day before 4th of July.
As an adult, I don't know when it is.
It's after St. Patrick's
Day.
It's
a real Gentile holiday either way.
Oh, yeah. It is the rising of Christ. It is second to Christmas in terms of body movement.
I will never forget going to a local park as like a small child for an egg hunt and like bigger kids just straight up attacking me and taking eggs from me. Like people have no shame.
If I were there, I would have defended you.
I appreciate that. My parents were just like, we'll just go do this. Like, it's not worth it. Because the problem there is all the other parents are animals who have taught their kids to, like, fight for the best thing.
I'm sorry my parents were there, but they were not there. Okay.
All right. Anonymous.
You'll be okay. You make friends. It's okay for you. You're
right.
Okay.
Either. Well, look, there's approaches.
No, she can rewind it.
Get in there.
You don't have to recap it.
You don't want to recap?
She can rewind it.
Hi, Eliza. I have an ex-boyfriend who has recently popped back up in my life and made it pretty clear he wants to hook up one last time.
Ew!
I'm tempted.
Wait, is he 90? One last time.
I'm tempted because he's still the best person I've ever slept with, and I know it would be good. Mm. However, I'm apprehensive because I don't have any feelings for him anymore, but I get the sense he's still into me. I'm worried it's going to be really different than before or just awkward since I'm not in love with him anymore. I'm moving out of state soon, and so it's my last chance to get it on, but I just can't figure out if it's worth the risk. Or not. What do you think?
That is up to you. I mean, you can have sex with no emotion, especially if you've already like loved the person and you're over it.
Yeah.
If the sex is great and you're cool with it, who cares about his feelings if he's the one going into it? Or it's like maybe it's old news. The expression is you can never go home again. You can never go bone again. It's never the same as it was when you were drunk that one time and you were young. Next question.
Meredith underscore Wren. Hey, Eliza and Emily. So I've been dating a medical resident for about 3 years. We have a year left of his program. We've moved to Miami together, and I left my comfort zone at home in Tennessee. I've grown a lot as a person and in my career.
Not that far.
But I'm receiving so much pressure and condescending comments about not being engaged after making such a, quote, sacrifice, unquote, without commitment. Mom and stepdad pressing about grandkids, which I don't want kids, and my father and friends telling me I'm not making a smart move by supporting my BF while he's in residency without the promise of commitment in the future. I understand the concern, but it brings so much anxiety to my relationship. Any advice on how to cope with the pressure or snappy comebacks for the naysayers? Extra info for context. We have both talked about our future in marriage, but still receive BS comments about being 29 without a ring and wasting time and money on something without permanence.
I mean, if he's a resident, he probably doesn't have money anyway. And if you're both know that you're going to be committed, what's important is that you both know that that's your path. It doesn't matter what other people think. I don't love the plan just because of biology. But if you don't want to have kids, that puts you in a different lane if you truly don't. Mm-hmm. You might be saying that because it's like a way to deflect it. Let's pretend that you truly don't want to have kids. You really have to have a come to Jesus with yourself. What matters to you? Are you really content to just support this person? And because he could change his mind. You might fall out of love, but he also could just be like, yeah, I guess not. It's not uncommon that, like, you know, starter wife kind of thing. Like, you're with the guy, support through med school. And then he's like, I guess I'm done now. But what really matters is that you two have an understanding of where you're going and what you mean to each other. And you have to be honest with yourself. Do you really not want kids? Does marriage mean something to you and you're trying to act like it's cool and you can, and people are bothering you so you're even more anti? It doesn't matter what other people say or think. And if they can't respect that, I think your family's just looking out for you. But they should know this guy enough to know he's like a good guy. You know, have your dad call up and be like, what are your intentions? But really, at the end of the day, what matters is the honesty and communication and understanding between the two of you.
Right. If you're both on the same page, great.
Like, that's what they're always like when they're like, they said it wouldn't work. No one believed in us. It is you two against the world. So if you're on the same page and you're cool, that's what matters. But you have to make sure that that's actually how you feel.
Yeah.
That being said, I wouldn't do what you're doing. Fuck his dreams. Fuck your dreams. What about my dreams?
Real Miss Line. Hi, Eliza and Emily. Love both your podcasts. My question is about traveling.
Am I losing fans every time I answer a question?
Why?
I don't know.
Because you just tell them you don't like their choices? No, they're here for honesty.
Yeah, honesty.
And you're different than them, and they can take it with a grain of salt.
I'm different than you. I'm different now.
Eliza, how do you keep yourself organized on the road? And do you wish Emily was there with you? Or does Emily prefer the peace and quiet when you are out and about? Greetings from Germany. P.S. Tour. Come tour here bit to schon.
Of course, German asked about organization. How do you stay organized? The world is so cramped.
How do you, because you're a good packer.
First of all, I tried to bring Emily on a flight once. I drugged her. I put her in a cage, and she got so upset mid-flight. Emily doesn't want to go. I said she could come to New York with me for the month we're shooting. She's like, nah. She does not like change. She is a house cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do get more stuff done.
Fair. That's fine. And I told her when I hired her, I'm like, I said this to you. I'm like, however you want to do your job is fine. You mm-hmm. don't have to check in. But you do have to come to work every day. I don't have a ton to organize. I wear a uniform on stage, which takes the guesswork out of clothes. So I wear black jeans and my tour shirt. You can say wearing your own tour shirt is dorky, but I sell a lot of shirts because people see how fucking dope it looks on me. I have toiletries. I have a set for home and a set for travel, so it stays packed.
Yeah.
There's an art to it. You can really get into it and find like fun, cute containers to refill, and you can really sort of Marie Kondo and nerd out in things like that, and having, you know, a cute little thing for your soap or a little travel candle, little zip pouches. Zip pouches are great. I have one for my electronics, headphones, wires, adapters, everything like that stays in one pouch. Pouches are great. And when I get into a hotel, the first thing I do is set up all my toiletries nice. And if I have writing to do, I set up my desk nice. Like, put on the laptop, I turn it on, I charge it. I have a little thing with pencils or whatever. That way, when I finally am in a mental space to do work, it's all set up nice for me. I keep a neat hotel room. Yeah. Initially, I explode, and then I'll clean up my own hotel room. I don't let the maid in.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for you've done it enough times that you know exactly what you need.
I keep it all in the suitcase, too. If I'm there for, like, 2 days, I don't unpack and put it in a drawer. And, roll your shirts, get more room. It's a little zippy, not plastic bags, like a little canvas bag. Makeup, one of toiletries. Bring your own, too. It's a lot cuter than wasting. Little things.
Yeah, little things. Do you want to do Top of the Cob?
I think it's time for a Top of the Cob.
Hit it.
It's the Top of the Cob.
We're
doing it right.
Okay.
Every day. You just take a bite.
Help. Top of the Cob.
Kick it off with your Top of the Cob.
Okay. My Top of the Cob is that my Nana calls me almost every weekend. Like, she'll check in. And
which Nana? Good Nana, bad Nana?
Good. Boston, Worcester. And she recently moved into a new old age home. Like, she was kind of in a more independent situation before, and now she needs a little more help. So my aunt who lives up there goes and visits her all the time, and they've started calling me with the FaceTime instead of just the phone because, you know, my Nana's phone is like 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And so they've been FaceTiming me the last few times that she's called. And so my aunt just gives it to her and lets her talk to me, and it's FaceTime, and mostly it's not pointed at her face, and I'm seeing, like, the top of her hair.
Yeah.
But it's nice because she'll be like, oh, show me your cat. Like, I can show around my room, and I can show her my cat because I did give her official portraits of me and my cat, and I think it weirded her out. So she's trying to be interested in my life, and she's like, oh, can I see the cat?
Yeah, because no one in her generation did, like, portraits with their non-hunting dogs.
And it's kind of like, oh, cool, a picture of you and your cat. You think you're going to get married? Mm. You know, and I'm like—
I am married. Married.
Right.
That's sweet. Nana time.
Yeah, so Nana face nice. Time.
I have taken pleasure lately. Our maid comes every week, and I leave cash for her. Sometimes I Venmo her. But I've taken pleasure in making a little gift bag out of the cash. So sometimes I will give her, you know, if a fan gives me a t-shirt that I can't really wear or something like that. Or, you know, I get a lot of stuff. People give me stuff, fans, companies. And I don't want to be a piglet and keep everything and, like, hoard it for later. So I'll take a little sustainable bag that was gifted to me, and I'll put in, like, some coffee or a candle or a shirt or some stuff that I just have never used. And I make it look like a nice gift bag, and I fan out the money and I put it in. Because I think for her, it's probably nicer to walk into, like, a fun little gift.
Yeah, and you get, like,
it's on the floor, take it all the way out.
You get candy and toys, and she has, like, kids. And
so I like doing that. I've never seen her actually take it. Like, I'm never there when she takes it, but I like to think it's nice for her to see a little gift.
Yeah.
That's my Top of the Cob.
All right.
My Bottom of the Cob. Flight home from Boston last week, sitting on the flight. And the guy next to me said hi. Didn't really talk to each other. And he ordered, I don't really drink on flights, but the flight attendant was like, "Would you want wine?" And I was like, yeah. Because it was the middle of the day. I was like, I don't want to be awake for 6 hours on the way home.
Yeah.
I love some white wine. And the guy next to me said, soda with lime. And I thought he said vodka soda with lime. And I go, oh, you know what? That's good. I'll have that. And she goes, soda with lime? I go, oh, I thought I had vodka. Can you put vodka in it? And the guy looks at me and he goes, you're high maintenance.
What?
I was like, is that okay to say?
Forgetting a drink that's...
A normal... I didn't order, like, a Pousse Café with, like, 12 layers.
He's the one that needed a lime.
It was... And he was definitely farting. And I was just like, why do you think it's okay? And I made a big deal. I was like, what smells? Like, why do you think it's okay to say that to me? I'm not gonna fuck you.
That's so weird because that's not, you weren't like, can you pour in half vodka, then pour in some soda water, then put a lime, then put more vodka on
layer
top.
It.
Like,
so,
you just wanted a drink in a drink.
Yeah, he farted a lot. I knew it was him, so.
Knew it was him. My bottom of the cob stressed you out earlier, but it's that my neighbors are making noises that I can't ignore. And it's not just a loud TV because everybody's like, just tell him to turn it off. I can't. There's a resonating note in his television mm-hmm. that buries itself in my ears. And it's
talk
I haven't been
earworm.
Sleeping. And I'm going to be one of those people that just kills someone and doesn't remember. And they're on the news just like, I don't know what happened. So I guess this is my confession.
Why don't you ask people their advice? I'm sure people live in small apartments, too.
I got
too.
Some advice, because I posted about it on Instagram, and some of your fans commented. And I've tried a combination of things. The thing that is the closest to working right now is the silicone, like, putty earplugs that are, they feel horrible. They upset me, because they, like, plug up your ear. That, with a sleep headphone band over it.
It would feel like you were sick. It would feel like your ears were stopped.
Yeah.
Up. Ugh.
And then something playing. So I'm hearing, like, the muffled sound of that. But then that tone is still getting under. So that's
where certain frequencies you are not blocking out in there.
Yeah, you know what you could do? Blow out your own eardrums so you don't hear certain frequencies. Like, you've been to too many concerts. And then you won't hear anything.
That might be.
My heart aches for you. And I know that feeling when you're in your own home and something's loud. And it makes me so anxious.
Yeah.
But side note?
Yeah.
Unrelated, your skin looks good.
Thank you.
Really cleared
up. I feel like I've figured out my own routine.
Like, I drink a full Coca-Cola at 3 a.m.
Well, I finally, here, look, I got this advice from Jackie Johnson's Natch Butte podcast.
Okay, but this is Ask Liza Anything.
I went to a dermatologist because I was like, look, I've been doing all the things that people say you should do.
Yeah.
And it's not getting better. Like, there's only so, because you feel kind of like, oh, what am I doing wrong? And there's only so much you can do before you're
like,
it's not.
I never feel that way.
Really? Because I just was like, oh, I'm like, gross. Like, what am I doing?
I'm always like, what's everyone else doing wrong and how is it affecting me?
No, but I just was like, I need help. I need medical intervention.
Yeah, so you got it.
So I got it. And yeah. I paid for the privilege, but I've figured it out.
Would you Accutane?
No, because that's kind of the more intense Veltin, which is like a combo of
looks
things
great.
That you put on every night.
There
and
you go.
Now I have like a thing to do.
Better living through chemicals.
Sometimes, yeah.
Call your mothers.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.